veins. I've been driving this train. Years in this lane, there's no stop.
Part 1. Part 1.
You'll hear someone booking transport for a trip. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 and 2. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 and 2. Good morning, Burnham Coaches. Sarah speaking. How can I help you?
Ah, yes. Good morning. I'm a teacher at the Down Language School. We have a bit of a problem, and I was wondering if you could help us out.
What is the problem exactly?
Well, we normally take our students on an excursion at the end of their course. But unfortunately, the coach firm we normally use has let us down. It seems they've gone out of business.
I'm sorry to hear that. I suppose you are looking for a replacement.
Well, yes. We won't need a very large coach, actually. There will be 30 students and 4 teachers.
So that's 34 in all. And what dates did you have in mind?
The last Saturday and Sunday of this month. That's the 28th and 29th.
The 28th and 29th. Does that mean you are planning to stay somewhere overnight?
That's right. Actually, we want to do the same excursion that we do every year. We usually visit Stonehenge, Salisbury, and stay overnight in Bath. It's a historical tour, really.
It sounds interesting. Let me just see what we have available. Oh, dear. I'm afraid all our coaches are booked out for the 28th. It's the busiest time of the year for us, actually.
I was afraid that would be a problem. But you have a coach available for the 29th?
Yes, we do. And it's available for the 30th as well, if that's any help to you.
I'm afraid not. Sunday is the last day. The students go home on Monday. I think we'll just have to change our plans a bit and leave out Salisbury. It's a shame, but I don't think we can fit in all 3 places in one day.
So you would like to book the coach for the 29th, visiting Stonehenge and Bath, is that right?
Yes, I think so.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 3 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 3 to 10. Right, I just need a few details, sir.
OK. My name is Paul Scott.
S-C-O-T?
It's double T, actually.
I'm sorry. And it's the Down Language School. Could you give me the address for that, Mr. Scott?
Yes, it's Down House, Hill Street, Brighton. Do you need the postcode?
No, that's not necessary. But I do need a contact number.
Of course. The number for the school secretary is 01273-512-634. You can contact her if you need to speak to anyone.
Right. And what time would you like the coach to pick you up?
Well, I think we'll have to make an early start. Would 7:30 be all right?
Yes, no problem at all. What time do you want to be back?
Oh, any time between 10 and 11 will be all right. Not later than 11, though.
Right, I'll make a note of that. 11 p.m. latest. There's just one more thing I need to know. Presumably, you'll be visiting Stonehenge first. How long do you want to stay there?
Well, we normally stay about an hour. The main objective of the excursion is for the students to see the Georgian architecture in Bath, really.
Yes, Bath is lovely, isn't it? I was there myself a couple of years ago. I thought the Royal Crescent was absolutely stunning. I hadn't realised how large it is. Well, I think that's all I need to know, Mr. Scott. Thank you for booking with us.
Just a minute. There's one thing you seem to have forgotten. How much will this cost?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I was thinking about Bath. Just bear with me a moment. Yes, it's a round trip of 300 miles and a total time of 16 hours for the driver. For a 45-seater coach, that will be a total of £500, including tax and insurance.
Do we have to have such a large coach? There are only 34 of us.
We don't have any smaller coaches, I'm afraid.
Oh, well. At least we won't be cramped for space. When do we have to pay?
We require a 20% deposit to confirm the booking. I suggest that you do that as soon as possible, today if you can. The balance you can give to the driver if you're paying by cheque. Have the cheque made out to Burnham Coaches.
I think that'll be all right. I will have to check this with the school accountant, but if all is well, I'll arrange for someone to bring you the deposit within the next 2 hours.
That'll be fine, Mr. Scott.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 16. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 16.
I'm here today with Helen Warner, who has been a vegetarian for many years and is going to talk a little about vegetarianism. Helen, the concept of vegetarianism seems to have interested a number of our listeners, who have sent in some questions. To begin, what made you want to become a vegetarian?
Well, when I was 16, I had friends who were vegetarian and they introduced me to the idea. My parents were typical of their generation and ate meat at least 3 or 4 times a week, so I didn't really think about it too much until a few years later. It was while I was at university that I really thought about it and decided that it was unfair to eat meat when there are so many alternatives available.
Is there anything you miss about not eating meat?
No, not really. As I said, there are so many substitutes available these days, perhaps the most important of which comes from the soya bean. Soya is so versatile and is the staple substitute for most vegetarians.
So what about the nutritional value of vegetarian food? Isn't it true that there are some vitamins that you can't get from soya or vegetables alone? Surely people need these vitamins.
Yes, that's correct. But actually there is only one vital vitamin that is only present in meat. That's vitamin B12. Most vegetarians are aware of the implication of this and actually take B12 supplement in the form of tablets. Of course, the way you cook vegetables is also very important in preserving vitamins. Many countries, particularly the UK, have a reputation for overcooking vegetables. Water-soluble vitamins, you know, where the vitamins are dissolved into the water, are often lost. Vitamin C is a common example. However, the loss of vitamins can be avoided by microwaving or steaming vegetables, which is what I do whenever I cook. Some people don't want to change their cooking habits too much, so if you do boil them, simply cut down on the cooking time.
So a vegetarian diet is fairly healthy then?
Oh yes. A lot of people believe that vegetarianism is unhealthy, but that's actually not the case. Vegetarians are actually considerably healthier than many meat eaters. Consider for a minute the health aspects of the incredible amount of meat this country and others like it consume. The statistics for beef eating, for example, are quite frightening. The world figure for beef consumption is slightly less than 11 kilograms per person each year. Yet in Europe, the average consumption is nearly double that at 21 kilos per person. And in the USA, it is even worse, with the average person eating 44 kilograms of beef every year.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 17 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 17 to 20.
So are you suggesting that people stop eating meat altogether and everyone adopts a vegetarian lifestyle?
No, not at all. Even in the healthiest diets, there is still a place for meat, but it should be eaten in moderation.
Many nutritionists think of foods in terms of a pyramid, with the foods we can eat relatively freely at the bottom and the foods we should carefully restrict at the top.
The majority of our diet should be composed of cereals, which would go on the bottom row of the pyramid. In this category could also be included such things as rice and pasta. Next, a good diet is followed by a roughly equal amount of vegetables and fruit. I have at least 2 servings a day of fruit and vegetables whenever possible. In decreasing quantities, you can then eat dairy foods, eggs, cheese, etc. Almost at the top of the food pyramid comes fish, carefully prepared, of course, not dripping in oil or batter, and white meat. Chicken, for example, is a comparatively healthy meat, but again, a lot of this comes down to preparation methods. Right at the top of the pyramid come the ingredients of far too many Western meals, red meat and potatoes. It is particularly in that area that I would suggest moderation.
Well, thank you very much, Helen. I'm sure that a lot of listeners are interested in your views. How could they find out more about the health benefits of vegetarian options?
Well, there are lots of websites and books on healthy eating and vegetarianism, but it is always important to remember to consult your doctor before making any radical changes to your diet or lifestyle.
That is the end of part 2.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 3.
Part 3.
You will hear somebody talking to a group of students about a university language centre. Listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 24. Listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 24.
Hi, I'm Katie Shaw and I work at the University Language Centre. Your tutor tells me you might be interested in using the centre, so I'm here at the college to explain a bit about it and, of course, to answer your questions.
Where exactly is the centre? Is it near the college?
It's actually on King's Road, just round the corner from here, in fact.
Oh, I know it, yes. I wondered what that building was.
Yes. What's there?
Well, the library has about 4,000 books, pamphlets and transcripts to go with some of the 12,500 items on audio or video cassettes. These are at a wide range of levels of difficulty, covering language learning material in over 100 languages. There are also reference books without tapes, including dictionaries, grammars, grammar workbooks, vocabulary workbooks and model letters, as well as texts on academic writing and effective study habits, etc. Audio cassette workrooms are on the first floor, by the way.
Do they get any foreign language press there too?
Yes. The library subscribes to a number of European daily and weekly newspapers, including Le Monde from France, L'Espresso from Italy, and the weekly international edition of the Spanish paper El País.
What about learning with computers? Can you do that there?
CALL, or computer-aided language learning, is available on the first floor.
How many PCs are there?
Counting both Macintosh and PC platforms, there are 9 at present. There are materials in over 15 different languages, and new material and language categories are being added as library funds permit. The programmes cover verb drills, grammar exercises, activities to accompany multimedia textbooks, pronunciation, translation, and some multimedia applications. The same hardware permits access to the internet with its many language learning and discussion sites.
What about TV? That's a good way of learning a language too.
Yes, definitely. We agree. So on the second floor of the centre, there are televisions to view live satellite television broadcasts in 7 languages.
Oh, which ones are they?
Currently, we've got Arabic, French, German, Italian, Portuguese, Spanish and Russian. Turkish broadcasting can be viewed live on request. The centre records the news in French, German, Arabic, Italian, Japanese, Spanish and Russian. And English too.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 25 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 25 to 30.
Now listen and answer questions 25 to 30.
Sounds great. How do we sign up?
To avoid paying a fee, you need to go to the centre with a valid university ID card or a letter from your college or departmental administrator on headed paper indicating your status, length of stay and language requirements.
Are there any forms to fill in?
I'm afraid so. You do that at the ground floor reception desk. Your registration is for 1 academic year only and needs to be renewed annually. You should tell the librarian who you are on your first visit, and you will need to take part in an induction to the library service, including the proper operation of the centre's computers, televisions, videos and so on.
Can't she help us choose the right materials too?
Yes. The librarian can give advice and assistance in locating material, making best use of the texts and tapes and so on. Let her know which language you want to study and what, if any, knowledge of it you already have. Also, say what reasons you have for learning the language. Your answers will help the librarian help you make the best choice of books and tapes for your needs. She can also offer you advice on how much time is needed to make progress in the language, and can offer suggestions on how to improve your language learning techniques.
Can she copy tapes for us to take home, or can we borrow them?
The library is a resource centre and reference library only. You can do as much self-study listening and reading work there as you want, but it's not possible to take home materials, that's to say, books or cassettes. And copyright law doesn't permit the library or its staff to make copies of cassettes for use by students outside the centre. All material must be used on the premises, I'm afraid. This ensures the materials are always available for students working on their own and not out on loan for long periods, which could harm users' progress.
So, if we can't take books home, is it okay to photocopy them?
The library staff will handle any photocopying, though international copyright law prohibits users from copying more than 5% of any one title in the academic year. You place a photocopy order with the librarian or an assistant, and orders will be processed between 1 and 2 o'clock or after 5:30.
How much does it cost?
10 pence per page. Payment is by photocopy card, which you can buy from the information desk on the ground floor.
That is the end of part three.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part four.
Part four.
9. Listen to the second part of our lecture. As you listen, complete the notes below.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40.
Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Riverdance is not just an expression of self-confidence, a kind of culturally interesting pop song. It tells the story of a people through song and dance. It tells the story of the people whose spirit was broken by an event which occurred in the middle of the last century, but continued to affect the society until 1961, the Great Famine. What is a famine? In 1840, the official population of Ireland was 8 million. They were largely poor and living in the countryside. They were beginning to have an interest in independence, and perhaps had things been different, Ireland might have been independent much earlier. But there was a serious problem in the agricultural system. All crops were grown to pay the rent of the land, and all that was grown to eat was the potato. This was fine until the potato crop failed, as it did from 1845 to 1848. The stories of what happened in those times live on in the popular culture of Ireland, and I won't tell them here, but the result was that 2 million people died or left the country by 1851. When you realise that the population continued to go down until 1961, you can realise what a disastrous effect this famine had on the people. Compared with China, imagine if the famine of 1960 reduced the population by a quarter and it kept falling to less than half of its pre-famine figure. Anybody with ideas left and went to England, America, or Australia. The people left behind were broken by their experiences and, in effect, the famine and its consequences put an end to all serious development in the country until well into this century. The Irish in Ireland lost all hope and self-confidence, and much of our modern culture is about the sadness of that time and the sorrow of saying goodbye to those who left and left well into this century. Ireland has the highest emigration rate of any country in Europe for the last 2 centuries. We even have an expression for this saying goodbye. It is called the American wake. It means the ceremony, like that of a funeral for someone going to America, because you will never see him or her again. Do you know why there is Irish music on the film Titanic? It is because most of the people killed were Irish. The leaving continued until the 1970s, because independence in 1921 was followed by a civil war and an economic depression. Almost every family in Ireland has relatives abroad, and up to the 60s in some places, of a class of 30 graduating from high school all left. Along the west coast, closed up houses from that time
falling into ruin are still common.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.